This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
.5:37 on the evening edition with Hezrel and Cam, and it's official. The new Sabah Times is printing its final edition tomorrow and will be closing down.
Now, this is a big deal because the new Sabah Times is... it's one of the oldest newspapers in Sabah. It's over 60 years old. It is, it's government, government, I was going to say government aligned. I don't even know what the government is anymore. It's politically aligned. Mm. It is quite literally the NST of Sabah. Mm. It's establishment, it's a fascinating newspaper because it's been printed in English, Bahasa, and Kadazan. Mm. Now, the remaining Daily Express newspaper, very good paper, in Sabah, used to print in Kadazan, had a Kadazan section, which got dropped, I think, in July. So without the NSD, New Sabah Times, Kadazan section, I don't know if there is any Kadazan print at all.
Right, and Felix Gusti, the managing director of New Sabah Times, says that the closing because due to a drop in circulation and ad revenue, and I'd pretty much, it's safe to say that that's pretty true for the whole industry.
Yeah, newspapers are having to change. The Malay Mail has stopped its print version. Mm. The Edge Daily has stopped its print version.
Except we did see a revival this year, Cam, which was Utusan.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
Again, a politically aligned thing. But also the New Sabah Times did shut down for a number of years in the 1990s and then was reactivated. So, I don't know, things could come back, I suppose. But yeah, it may well be signaling a deep problem with print.
Right. I mean, do you actually go out and buy a physical copy of newspaper?
Not for a long time.
Okay, so everything's just online for you now. That or Twitter.
Or fax. For me.
let us know what has your experience been like with newspapers, online news portals? Which ones do you go to? Do you even buy a newspaper still? Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we're going to hear from independent filmmaker Nadira Ilana, who's herself from Sabah, and has also worked with the New Sabah Times in the past for a short period of time. We want to get her insight, so stay tuned for that here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
5:44 on the Evening Edition with Hezrel and Cam. And speaking of business, the New Sabah Times is printing its final edition tomorrow, and they're closing down. They've been around for more than six decades. And to get some insights on it, we're crossing over now to independent filmmaker Nadira Ilana, who's calling in from Sabah. She's also a Sabahan and has worked with the newspaper in the past. Nadira, it's good to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. You guys got me just in time.
So how did you feel when you heard about the news that the paper is closing down?
I was devastated, actually. I think it might have had some run-ins, like, with almost closing in the past, but to hear it in 2020, it's just like, what else can happen next? So, yeah.
Nadira, you've worked in the newspaper once upon a time. Could you tell us, what was the experience like working at the New Sabah Times?
To be honest, I was just very young at the time. Like, I just finished SPM, and I was just in between, you know, waiting to go to uni. And so that was my first internship. And I remember at the time, like, chief editor Jerry Gamijan was very, very kind to me. It was exciting. They sent me to cover stories, like, at the court. And then I wrote an entertainment piece, and that was it. But later on, a few years after that, I shot my short film, Elastic, Once Upon a Time in the East, at New Sabah Times itself, because that short film in particular was sort of like about, you know, Sabah's independence, Sabah attaining our independence. And so we had, like, a young Donald Stevens character, and the editors there were nice enough to allow us to film there.
Right, and from your point of view, what does the newspaper mean for Sabahans? What role has it played, and how has that evolved over the years?
Well, I can only speak for myself, and it means so. There's a lot of sentimental value, not just sentimental value. It's an incredibly important institution, and primarily because I think that not a lot of people realize that, unlike the Malays, Indians, and Chinese of Malaysia, you know, like a lot of the indigenous groups in Malaysia come from oral traditions, especially those in Sabah and Sarawak. And I think that to me, the Sabah time sort of represents the 60s and that transition into becoming, you know, a modern literate society, especially from a Kadazan Dusun sort of like point of view, because Kadazan Dusuns are along the west coast primarily. And so, you know, and this comes around the time of the formation of Malaysia. I mean, people only remember Tunku Abdul Rahman, but Donald Stevens is just as much a founding father of Malaysia. And from what I read in his biography, you know, he was really important at the time because not a lot of people could read or understand the native languages. But, you know, whenever people would get letters and things like that, they would go to him and ask him to sort of read it or write letters for him. And remembering Donald Stevens as well, because he also was one of the authors behind the 20-point agreement, you know, and he played such a huge role in Malaysia. One of the things that Sabah and Sarawak wanted was to control our own education and have our own vernacular schools. So we're talking about, you know, having Kadazan vernacular schools, and that was not achieved either. So to me, when I see the New Sabah Times is closing, that to me is just another, I don't know, another representation of how the broken promises of Malaysia.
Yeah, I'd like to get onto the Kadazan language in print in a bit more detail in a moment. But can we just clear up first the ownership of the New Sabah Times? Just to be clear, it's owned presently by the former Sabah Chief Minister Tan Sri Musa Aman. I think that is correct to say. And does its political alignment did that affect the readership?
It's because the thing is, like, I'm also between KL and Sabah, so it's a bit hard for me to say, but it was basically a government mouthpiece, you know, and it's also talking to, like, people who had both formerly worked together with the papers. So I think that, you know, I think more could have been done to sort of develop it, you know, as the voice of the people, as opposed to kind of just, like, you know, coming from the top down. That seems to be the downfall in mass media or creative industries across Malaysia. You know, if the government tries too hard to control it, it loses its value.
Mm. Do you think the internet has changed the way Sabahans, you know, consume the news?
I think it's a yes and no kind of situation because internet and connectivity in Sabah is quite poor. But a lot of people are also communicating via WhatsApp and Facebook groups. And I think that when you don't have, you know, there are a lot of also different sort of types of, like, websites and blogs that are coming up, but it's really hard to verify, you know, which ones are, you know, proper and which ones are, you know, written by, actual journalists and that kind of thing. So I'm a bit concerned about how people are receiving their information or whether a lot of it is accurate even.
So let's get now onto the Kadazan language in print. The New Sabah Times was published in three languages, English, Bahasa Malaysia, and Kadazan. But with the loss of the New Sabah Times and the ending of the Daily Express's Kadazan section, is there any footprint for the Kadazan language in print in Sabah? And is this saying something about, well, the readership for the Kadazan language?
Yeah, I mean, there are, I'm not going to speak for the rest of the Kadazan publications as well, because I'm not too familiar with that and whether there are books. But people also need to realize that the Kadazan language is only spoken in Pinampang and Tapar, two districts mainly. You know, and the rest is Dusun. My family speaks, you know, my ancestors speak Dusun. So in terms of this written literature, there aren't as many resources as we would like. And for me, primarily as a filmmaker, I recognize that, you know, language is mostly learned phonetically. So there are limitations to what can be achieved through print. Print, I don't know, like, I think that's one aspect of having continuity in the language, but we need more room for ourselves, like, East Malaysians need more room for ourselves in the mass media. The issue is when we're constantly competing with Peninsula Malaysia to have those spaces, because people imagine, you know what, Sabah and Sarawak are just states. But Sabah can fit several Semenanjung states in the entire geographical mass, and then you can fit Semenanjung in Sarawak itself. And with our diversity, we actually need to have more of our own spaces, as opposed to, you know, like just a general Malaysian peninsula-centric, peninsula-dominated, you know, mass media.
On that note, looking ahead, do you have hopes for the future of the local news scene in Sabah and you know, by extension, in here in Malaysia?
For news, it's very hard to say. I mean, just in general, like, what is it I forget what it is, but because newspapers have to get their licenses renewed every year, right? I think it has to do with freedom of expression, and just in general, when there's so much control or censorship over what, you know, can be said in the mass media, you know, we lose a lot of our creativity, not just our creativity, but stories that come from the heart and stories that come from the soul. I mean, we're talking about, you know, like, okay, print versus digital, or what language, you know, you're using. But to me, at the end of the day, we have not really respected the integrity of these stories and our identity, because everything has become sensitive. Because the Kadazan Dusun languages also were limited from the radio at one point, and we were not allowed to teach them in schools at one point as well. And people are just afraid of being able to be themselves. Kadazan Dusuns are the indigenous majority of Sabah without the perks at the moment. So I'm more concerned about our autonomy and being able to know ourselves, because we don't have that connection with our history the way that we should.
With that, Nadira, thanks so much for speaking with us this evening.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. That was independent filmmaker Nadira Ilana with her thoughts on the end of the road for the new Sabah Times.
Yeah, it's... regardless of its political alignment, newspapers in this country have historically been aligned one way or the other. It's nonetheless always sad to see journalists lose a job, and to enter into 2021 without a job is very sad. And also it's constant question marks about the future of print news, of news in general in Malaysia, and finding a way to make it pay for itself. There are always new models coming up.
I'm glad you asked that question on the Kadazan language. You know, just speaking to the multilingual nature of our newspapers, or rather the fact that they're sort of disappearing, right? The diversity, and I think that was an important aspect to touch on.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Hezrael, I mean, you're younger than me. Did you ever see a Jawi newspaper?
No, I mean, online, you know, in old internet archives, but, you know, never.
Actually, in the newsagent.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they went out of print. It stopped in the 90s, early 90s. I can't remember.
Yeah, that part of the bigger landscape too when it comes to the media. In the meantime, let us know, are you a reader, or have you been a reader of the New Sabah Times? You know, what's your engagement been like with our various newspapers? You call us at 773-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.